The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Reclining at table with his disciples, Jesus was deeply troubled and testified, "Amen, amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another at a loss as to whom he meant. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter nodded to him to find out whom he meant. He leaned back against Jesus' chest and said to him, "Master, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I hand the morsel after I have dipped it." So he dipped the morsel and took it and handed it to Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot. After Judas took the morsel, Satan entered him. So Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly." Now, none of those reclining at table realized why he had said this to him. Some thought that since Judas kept the money bag, Jesus had told him, "Buy what we need for the feast," or "to give something to the poor." So Judas took the morsel and left at once, and it was night. When he had left, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and he will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. You will look for me, and as I told the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. So now I say it to you." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, though you will follow later." Peter said to him, "Master, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Amen, amen, I say to you, the cock will not crow before you deny me three times." The Gospel of the Lord. Judas left the Last Supper, the Gospel of John tells us, and it was night. And when John says that, he isn't so much telling us the time of day as much as he's making a deliberate Old Testament reference. You remember a couple weeks back I said the Gospel of John loves to make deliberate reference to the Old Testament, and that's what he's doing right now, a deliberate reference to the darkness of the book of Genesis. Do you remember the story? The very beginning of the Bible, it says, "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless wasteland, and darkness covered the abyss. Then God said, 'Let there be light.'" In God's plan, light always follows darkness. It was night, yes, but only for Judas's soul. Even though his betrayal led to Jesus' arrest and his scourging and his crowning with thorns and his crucifixion, God used it for a brand new act of creation, because God always brings about a greater good from everything. God gives us free will, doesn't he? And he does not interfere with our use of our free will. But know this, no matter what we choose with our free will, God always accomplishes his purposes. Every single time. His will is always done. For example, let's say you're the Pharaoh of Egypt, God knows the hardness of your heart. And he uses even that hardness to set his people free. Or let's say that you're Pontius Pilate. God knows your cowardice, and he uses even that cowardice to set into motion the act of redemption that'll free the whole world from all of their sins. It's always been this way down through history. I think of the great emperors of Rome who persecuted the church so mercilessly down through the centuries. You can think of the Emperor Nero or the Emperor Diocletian or the Emperor Valerian, and God knows your malice. And he uses even that as an instrument to spread the gospel far and wide. Whether you are obedient or disobedient, whether you are good or evil, whether you are scheming or docile, in the end, everything that we do serves God's purposes. And the only thing that ever hangs in the balance in all of this is the soul of the one who acts. It was indeed darkness for Judas Iscariot. He would draw down a judgment on himself for what he freely chose. But he wasn't going to stop God's will from occurring. Yes, it would lead to Jesus suffering and death. And yes, there would be a price to pay, as there always is for every sin. But what God brings about as a consequence of it, you know, it's greater, far greater than any evil ever could have been. It's true for the betrayal of St. Peter, too. I love to think about the betrayal of St. Peter. Now, don't misunderstand. St. Peter betrayed Jesus every bit as much as Judas did. In fact, he did it 3 times. It's just that St. Peter repented of what he did. Judas never did. But I love to think about the betrayal of St. Peter with all of his boasting, right? Oh, follow you all the way to the end. Even if nobody else follows you, I'll follow you all the way to the end, boasts St. Peter. Well, we found out how quickly that end came, didn't we? Cock-a-doodle-doo, Peter, right? Cock-a-doodle-doo. But what does he teach us? He teaches us not to trust in our own strength. St. Peter thought he was so much stronger than he really was. And he teaches us to trust in the Lord and not to trust in ourselves. A little tiny thought for you now for Tuesday of Holy Week. Do not be discouraged. Even when you see deliberate human malice, nobody, and I mean nobody, can stop God's will from occurring. You and I need to act like St. John and lean on the chest of Christ and let him be your strength, because I promise you, no matter what the evil in the world, you are going to be amazed at the good that God is going to bring forth from it. Amen.